Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's that autistic guy next door who's always screaming incoherently of free speech. Because there's an autistic guy next door, and he's always screaming incoherently. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. There's a great summer fundraiser. You don't know what kind of goodies you're going to get, from t-shirts to other things. All right, we have with us Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Patrick, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me. So there's been so much going on in America, but before there was a lot going on in America, a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of stuff going on, where I guess the beginning of the month, a lot going on in Britain and France. Britain's got a new government. I don't even know if France has a government. I guess it's the old government is kind of caretaking while a new government potentially gets lined up. You want to start off by filling us in on how great things are with the Starmer government?
Yeah, well, the Starmer government so far, you know, particularly in terms of immigration, which, let's face it, for the majority, if not all, of the European nations, immigration is the number one issue. It's not like it used to be the economy, stupid. Of course, there are people who care about the economy and their well-being financially and everything else. But increasingly, mass immigration is being recognized as an existential threat to the survival of your peoples and your culture and your heritage and all of that. I would say increasingly people are emboldened to talk about it as it's become more apparent that it is the case. Some over here in the UK, frustratingly, are almost like, you know, Zionists, where everything is blamed on Muslims, and immigration is not seen as such a threat as long as we have people who integrate. If they do integrate, to me, that is a bigger threat. And obviously, anybody who really cares about maintaining your peoples, your ethnicity and your culture and your identity would recognize integration as a total wrecking ball. And what integration has occurred has been a wrecking ball. But people like Nigel Farage at least say that that's a good thing. Now, one wonders when they say this. I think it's true that some people do believe that, but one wonders if it's just a more palatable, polite way of addressing the issue without actually mentioning that now, you know, we are getting white people in our own lands, and that this continent of ours does have a racial element to it. It is a white continent in the same way that Africa's a black continent, and that we want to maintain that. And of course we want to maintain our culture, and of course we want to not have the violent and sexual crime that other, and I would argue inferior, cultures bring to the table when they come here. So, and of course, the other argument that's made, whether disingenuous or otherwise, is that we don't have the space. You hear this cliche, it's not a case of race, it's a case of space. We don't, you know. And that, by the way, is true. And maybe people like Farage promote these ideas because they don't want to talk about the fact that, you know, well, we also want it to remain a white continent. Thank you very much. You know, no such politeness would the Africans indulge in or do indulge in, for example, on their continent. So, you know, you have all this going on. Meanwhile, as George Galloway referred to the Labour government, the Conservatives, as two cheeks of the same backside, well, we shouldn't be surprised, and that the Labour government and Keir Starmer are pretty much been consistent of what we thought they would do. They too are dancing around the issue of mass immigration and coming out with all sorts of fanciful ideas of dismantling, people smuggling gangs and dealing with poverty and educational and health problems in Africa, dealing with at the source where he's allocated $84 million to deal with all of Africa and the Middle East problems. I mean, if you had $84 trillion, you would not scratch the surface of dealing with the apparent at the source problems in the Middle East and Africa. And of course, it's none of our business. That's not our job. This is just another nonsense distraction and facade of pretending to the acknowledged outraged British public that they will do something about mass immigration, when all you have to do is control your borders. But the will is not there to control the borders, and this is the problem. So while all these attempts to eradicate gangs who are smuggling people here and dealing with poverty in Africa and cultural issues in the Middle East with 84 million, guess what? Immigration continues. They have the Labour government are already talking about policies to house migrants rather than having them in hotels at the expense of the taxpayer and everything else. So in other words, they're just basically said, come here, and you don't even have to worry about being in temporary accommodation. We're going to build lots of houses, and we're going to put you in there, and you will go to the first, the front of the queue, ahead of people in the UK and Ireland who have been maybe waiting on a council house for 10, 12 years. And these people are going to probably end up, coming to a neighborhood near you. So, but this is what we expected of the Labour government. So this is where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Nigel Farage, I will add another thing. One glimmer of hope. Nigel Farage is in the Parliament yesterday. Nigel Farage is a very powerful speaker. And he was in the Parliament and he suggested that maybe it's time that we had a referendum on membership of the ECHR, because the membership of the ECHR, which again, the European Court of Human Rights, is a justification for successive governments to appear that they are well-meaning and extremely frustrated at their attempts being thwarted by these unelected bureaucratic sort of human rights organizations that completely thwart their ability and their great intentions to stop mass immigration. Because they know when they come out with these policies like Rwanda, they know that the European Court of Human Rights are going to interject. They know that this process is going to last for years. And why this process and this facade and this sham is continuing, guess what? Mass immigration continues. So Nigel Farage has suggested that we have a referendum on membership of the European Court of Human Rights. Now, of course, if you're really interested in controlling your borders, it's very simple to ignore the European Court of Human Rights, because it begs the question, what exactly is going to happen, which is so devastating if we ignore these people? It's a bit like having some sort of nebulous law. And I think in some countries, maybe even over here, you actually have things like this now, that if someone invaded your house, and your life and your children's life is at risk, that rather than if you had the means to defend yourself, you started to worry about the consequences of what's going to happen if you attack the intruder. Now, your instinctive reaction to such a position should be to deal with the immediate problem, the immediate threat, because your life's at risk and there's no comeback after this. You need to deal with it right now. And you need to stop it right now, and then you deal with the consequences later. And that's what's happening in the West. It's like this is a genuine existential threat, a battle. You know, we're out there, we're obsessed with Israel's borders and territorial integrity and Ukraine's territorial integrity. And Putin's this great threat to the West, and we need to get our military budgets up. The fact of the matter is, we have been invaded, and we continue to be invaded, and we are engaged with our hands tied behind our back because of treacherous politicians in an existential battle for our survival. And there is no way that there would be any great consequences if indeed we ignored the European Court of Human Rights. The most I heard when asked about this by one of the new reform politicians, when he asked some leftist international human rights lawyer about what would be the consequences if indeed we did ignore the 1951 Refugee Convention, for example. And his reply was, and I quote, "It would be problematic under the framework of international law." And he was then asked, which means what exactly? And he said, well, the reality is, he said, there is no actual enforcement. You just become or get accused of being a pariah state. What do you think the chances are of the UK becoming a pariah state or being accused of the pariah state, Patrick? So you've got a choice. You can be accused of ignoring some Jewish-driven, audacious human rights group and been called a pariah state, or you can save your country. Which do you think is the best option?
Well, unfortunately, you don't want to be called racist, right? And this has been, I guess, is this the white plague? Is this the, the Stockholm syndrome? Whatever it is, so many white people just don't want to be called racist. At least I'm not called racist. And so they won't speak up in any way. This is why you have, when Donald Trump, for instance, when he's talking in front of a room full of white people, he doesn't talk about white interests. What he'll say is how good he is for brown people, for immigrants, he talks about all of this. And then the white people that he's appealing to think, okay, I can vote for Donald Trump and it's not racist. They won't vote. If he were to say, look, white people are under attack and we've got to do something about it. The only people who can say that in the mainstream are people who can claim to be non-white. So Vivek Ramaswamy and to an extent Tulsi Gabbard, they will say things. Ramaswamy more, because Ramaswamy is less white than Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard's maybe 20% Samoan or something. It doesn't really show. But a white person won't make an appeal. And if they do, then they're David Duke. Then if they do, they're expelled. And so that is you asked the question, and maybe it was a rhetorical question, but to answer it non-rhetorically, it seems that it's more important not to be racist than to save your people.
It would seem so. I think until that changes, and like I said, you've got people and it's true, people are so terrified of it, because I'm sure that underneath it all, they recognize that people coming from Africa and people coming from the Middle East and everything, they are different peoples, they are different races, and they don't want it. And it's perfectly normal not to want it. But they skirt around the edges, because I don't know how many people, even in Ireland, I heard this woman, she said, it's not a case of, I'm not racist, but everything is almost prefaced by I'm not racist. But we don't have enough homes here for ourselves. We don't have the doctors and the nurses, and we don't have the economic facilities, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what would happen if you did? Would it be okay then? Because then you can have a government come in and say, oh, okay, we've listened to your concerns. We're going to build a lot more houses to put these people in. Is that okay? And that is happening in the UK.
Yeah.
This is the proposal. Hey, well, we've got to... we can build more houses, and we, of course, we can import more nurses from Africa, from Nigeria and Ghana, because otherwise the NHS would collapse. It's funny how this correlation between the NHS increasingly struggling and mass immigration is never made. In other words, when we had no immigration up until the 1950s, 1960s, and even when we had small immigration, there was no problem with the NHS. And it is sold to people that we need the nurses from Ghana and Sri Lanka or wherever. And no one ever stops to think, okay, well, hold on a second here. for every one nurse we bring in, how many other people are we bringing in that's going to need the NHS? Are we bringing in, you know, one nurse for every 1,000 people? So, I mean, it's just so asinine. But this argument is made that we need these nurses because otherwise the NHS would be collapsing, you know?
Right. And of course, for every nurse that comes in, you know, not only their own family, yeah, there's huge numbers of people who come in. Mark Collett was telling me about, I guess, a student visa program in Britain. And, you know, you can invite in a student, but then the student's allowed to bring the family. And in a lot of cases, we tend to think of students as being teenagers. But, in so many cases, A, they're somewhat older, you know, if they're in grad school. And B, the people overseas, people in these countries tend to get married a lot earlier. And they are much more likely to have families. But I want to just get back briefly to the point that you made. If we did have the housing, would it be okay? Because so many times people don't want to refute an argument head on. And I've seen this, and like I remember this was a bugaboo for me during the coronavirus, the corona apocalypse. People would the way fighting back against vaccines or mandates or social distancing or masks or whatever, the way they were fighting back against it was that the virus isn't real or that viruses themselves aren't real. And then, you know, it gets to the question, well, okay, if viruses were real, then you'd be okay with it, right? If mm-hmm. that's, you know, if that's the defense that you're using, the defense should be, you know, you stick a needle in my arm and I'll stick this something, I'll stick my foot up something else, you know, I'll stick my foot up your butt. Mm-hmm. That's what the black kids in my elementary school would say. I'm going to stick my foot up your butt. They used to say that.
Get your ass out of here.
That's a more appropriate response.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, I suppose to some extent Farage, you know, is having some success. They're in the parliament now. They got five MPs there, so at least he's in there causing some problems. I mean, Farage does have a tremendous ability. I'm not really sure what it is, but when he speaks, people listen, and he speaks better than anyone in the British Parliament. And he was in there, and he was only in there, it was his opening speech, and he talked about a referendum on the European Court of Human Rights. And I guarantee you that the whole establishment probably has their head in their hands, because it was Farage who pushed for the European Union referendum, and he only has to mention that, and that's going to gain some attraction and support. But like I said, if you had a government that was really, motivated to stop immigration, which we know they're not, you would simply ignore the European Court of Human Rights. Like I said, if someone breaks into your house and you've got the ability to kill these people before they kill you, you're going to do it. You're not going to worry about the law that says you might get in trouble. Maybe something will happen to you if you kill an intruder. Well, I'll take my chances.
Because, you've got the magic touch. Ooh. It makes me glow so much. Ooh. It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm. It's like a four-alarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch. Here I go reeling. I'm feeling the glow.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Right on out of my arms, still I feel a free lover, your wonderful charms. Lips that once were mine, tender. Baby, and I'll see you in my dreams, and I'll see you in my dreams.
To kill these people before they kill you, you're going to do it. You're not going to worry about the law that says you might get in trouble. Maybe something will happen to you if you kill an intruder. Well, I'll take my chances because, you know, I'm going to die right now anyway. And this is the way it should be seen. The country's been destroyed. And I sometimes think that years ago, even when all this illegal immigration down at the English Channel and on the coast down there, maybe there should have been thousands of us going down there and just harassing people. Harassing the border force, making life very difficult for them, camping out down there. If it needed lots of police and, you know, chaos, we should have caused as much chaos as possible down there, considering what's at stake, you know. Within the law, I'm not talking about violence or anything else, but just huge numbers of people who care about the country and its identity and its future. We should have been down there really making an absolute racket, really, you know. There's been like a few little protests, and Nigel Farage has been down there with film crews and stuff, but it should have been one of those situations where it just was that the politicians were forced, absolutely forced, just for the sake of social cohesion to do something about it, you know?
Yeah. So,
and even that, Patrick, even that's just the illegal immigration. To some extent, they've allowed the illegal immigration to continue as a distraction from the legal immigration. I mean, net immigration into the country was at its all-time highest in, I think, last year. They initially they said 600,000, and they revised it up to 750,000. And of course, when you consider, when you take away, you know, that basically is the figure of who left the country and who comes in. Well, who's leaving the country? That's the thing. You know, do you think it's Muslims and Sri Lankans and Eritreans that are leaving, or do you think it's disillusioned white people who are saying, I'm heading off to Tenerife or Mallorca or the south of France. I've had enough of this, you know?
So Mark Collett mentioned that a lot of these people who leave the country are older people, retired, and they would rather live out their retirement on, you know, in Spain or sunny Portugal or the south of France.
The boomers who stood by and did nothing, then when it gets bad enough, they hypocritically leave and say, oh, okay, next generation, you can deal with it. I'm off to sun myself for the last 10 years with my nice fat pension and the 300 grand I made from my little house that I bought for 150 grand in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is what we have in the United States, except that we're a continental size. It's very common for people in the colder states to retire down in Florida. I mean, Florida's got a massive retirement communities here and there. So I'm not saying that to justify or explain anything, but just to underscore that a lot of the people who would be leaving Britain would probably be the equivalent. It's just that because the countries are smaller in Europe, that if you're seeking a different climate, often it's going to be in a different country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, and I sent you a speech by a guy at the New Cultural Forum, and I thought it was a very, very good speech. And he basically outlined that, you know, we articulated this for years and years, but this guy's only 26, I think, and he's talking at the New Cultural Forum, which are kind of disgruntled conservatives. And he basically said, and I think it's a kind of a shift in the narrative by the younger generation. He basically said that, more or less, in fact, he did stated explicitly that when you talk about diversity, you're talking about the ethnic cleansing of the native population, you know.
It's our greatest strength. And in some cases, we've heard both Bill Clinton and Joe Biden talk about this, you know. That Bill Clinton talked about it. It was more off in the future, but Biden, I think, as vice president, maybe as president, but certainly as vice president, was saying, you know, by such and such year, whites are going to be an absolute minority, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's the source of our strength. Well, if whites being a minority is the source of our strength, that would mean whites themselves are the source of our weakness, right? There's such a contrast between the way people will talk about whites, you know.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you. Only you.
There's such a strong contrast between the way people will talk about whites. You know, Donald Trump, who and the Republican Party that actually represents whites or misrepresents them, but, you know, the whites vote for them. And they won't speak explicitly about white interests. They'll speak explicitly about non-white interests, just so that the whites will feel that it's not racist to vote for these people. Then,
I mean, so comes back to the question, you know, let's go back to like basics here. And we've asked this question, we've explored this, and I, you know, go over this in my mind as well. What is racism? I mean, you know, when you think of racism, you think, okay, racism is when you have an attitude, rightly or wrongly, that your race, be it white people, be it African or blacks or whatever, is in fact superior to all other races, and all other races are inferior to you. Okay, so that is the mindset, perhaps, and you can stop me where you think I'm veering off into a territory which is not correct. But having that mindset in itself, whether expressed or otherwise, wouldn't, in my opinion, necessarily constitute a danger, for example, to other races, that said person who believes his race is inferior to other inferior races. But the next step in that would be to bring about harm in some significant way, or even in a small way, by that person to another race based on that person's race alone, that such harm would be brought upon them because of the belief of the perpetrator that his race is superior to another. And yet, when we hear outrage of examples of racism, it doesn't even come close to fitting that definition. The definition of racism is so widely used today that I rarely even hear it being challenged. You'll hear people saying, I'm not racist, but no one ever actually says anymore that I can tell, what is it you're actually meaning by racism? Can we define racism? And then, and if the definition has changed, then can you please let us know? Because I had a view that, you know, to be racist is just kind of along the lines that I just described. And if the definition has changed, well, can you let us all know? Because it just seems to be something which can be used with expediency, you know, just anything which goes against mass immigration, for example, or the interests of the native population is considered to be racist. Yet I see no evidence that even your average white person has an attitude that he's inferior to other races, let alone bring harm to other races, you know?
I hear you're a racist now, Father.
Yeah, exactly. You know, someone as intrepid as Father Ted was even shaken to his boots at the mere suggestion.
Yeah, he was shaking in his boots.
And he stood up. This is a man who stood up to the bishop. What's his name? He kicked him in the backside, even.
Bishop Brennan.
Bishop Brennan.
As God is my witness, I will kick Bishop Brennan up the arse.
And he did do it, and yet he's terrified of being called racist.
He did, and had a giant 8-foot by 10-foot poster made of it.
Here's the question. Would Father Jack have been equally terrified at the accusation of being called racist? Or would he typically brushed it off?
Hell no. Father Jack, he would have owned it to the extent, you know, he only had like a three-word vocabulary, which is drink, feck off, and gals. Arse. Oh, and then nuns, feck, nuns, feck. So, well, where were we going with that?
Well, you know, it's this definition of racism and, you know, what it is and what is it you're actually saying and what, you know, because to my mind, like I said, so many things are accused of being racist. For example, we're potentially at a sort of a George Floyd movement over here. A moment over here at the minute, there was an incident in Manchester Airport where the footage, which does look horrendous, where you have one guy who's lying on the ground. He's no longer a threat. He's incapacitated. Is that the word? Where he's lying down and looks like he's under control. And there's a policeman basically stands back, almost takes a little run at him and just kicks his head, which was enough to actually, if you look at it, to potentially kill the man who's not expecting that, lying down and just gets his head kicked by a guy who has a free shot. Now, this is a police officer. And then afterwards, he kind of stamped on his head as well. Now, it looks horrendous, and I stand by that this is not defensible. Mm-hmm. However, it then materializes that these Muslims had resisted arrest, that they had attempted to disarm the police of their tasers, that they had broken the nose of a female officer, And I'm sorry, but once you engage in trying to disarm police and you become a threat like that and you've actually assaulted a police officer and broken her nose, well, then you've kind of crossed the line where you're going to leave yourself vulnerable to pretty much anything. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily, you know, I'm not necessarily defending this policeman, but if this guy is like, you know, thinks he's like, maybe he's in danger or he's completely freaked out by these Muslims attempting to take their weapons, because it's just not normal behavior. But anyway, the backstory has not really been promoted much. This is very much a case of Proverbs 18:17, where the first to state his case seems right till another comes and examines him. But we've the mainstream media have kind of stopped just at the first part of the proverb there, the first to state his case seems right. Anyway, this police guy has been suspended. But the Muslim population, accompanied by the usual lefties, the usual liberals, are out in force in Manchester and other parts of Europe or other parts of the country in sort of George Floyd style. No justice, no peace, no racist police. So is it racist? Is this racist? I mean, this is an example. I mean, last time I checked, for example, Muslims aren't a race. We have no idea about the beliefs of this policeman, about what his views are on race. But this is automatically, immediately diagnosed as a problem with racism in this, within these policemen, you know?
Yeah. You know, so we had this big BLM movement that they were always taking up the cases of very questionable people. And questionable is being charitable. You know, so everybody knows Floyd was a drug addict with a long criminal record. He'd spent a third of his adult life in prison, violent criminal, and he died of a heart attack while under police custody. And these other heroes of the Black Lives Matter movement, something Brown, what was the guy's name? Something Brown, Michael Brown, who had attacked he had shoved a little Asian storekeeper to the ground as he was shoplifting cigars, and then punched a police officer in the face and things like that. They made these people into heroes. Now, on the Daily Stormer a few days ago, I saw a story, and about a month ago, there was an incident somewhere, and the police body cam footage was released. And so there was some 40-year-old black woman who was described as paranoid schizophrenic. And she had called the police, I guess, because she thought somebody was trying to break in. Maybe it was just her paranoid schizophrenia. But the body cam footage that I saw, maybe it was only a couple minutes. But she was calm, and the police were calm. Everything was calm, and they were talking to each other calmly. And then the policeman said, she had a pot of water on the stove, and he told her to, I don't know what it was, turn off the heat or take the pot off the stove or whatever. And she walked over. It seemed to be complying. And then he started saying something like, don't even think about throwing that pot of hot water on me. Well, she didn't seem to make any attempt. And then the next thing you know, he shot her in the head and killed her. And it seemed to be as completely uncalled. And he was a big white guy. She's a skinny black lady. And there seemed to be absolutely no justification for it. Maybe, you know, you never know. Sometimes there's some sort of backstory, but it would be really hard to imagine it. And I guess it was Elvis Dundelhorf, one of the staff writers at the Daily Stormer, was saying, nothing will happen of this. It's not going to be made into an issue, because they like making these really tenuous criminals, these really tenuous cases into issues. But something that is just completely cut and dry, they won't even make it into an issue. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I haven't heard anything of it. And it was about as indefensible as you can imagine. Now, of course, one thing is, because it was so indefensible, I saw the mugshot of the policeman. They've obviously arrested the policeman, and probably he'll be charged and convicted of murder without any problem. So maybe there won't be anything to demonstrate. Part of the Black Lives Matter thing was to get people who had exercised legitimate self-defense in prison, or police who had been, you know, carrying out police procedure, get them in prison, because then you have, then you disincentivize people from doing exactly what you were talking about earlier in the show. I think it was this show, if not the other show, about, you know, if somebody breaks into your house, well, you're going to defend yourself. Well, not if Black Lives Matter has their way. If somebody breaks into your house, you're not allowed to defend yourself. Otherwise, you're going to wind up in prison for the rest of your life. But with a clear cut case like this, I guess there's just not much to be gained from it. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, this is the type of thing that's going on. I mean, we had a black guy over here. He's a 24-year-old Nigerian who stabbed a British soldier, a 44-year-old British soldier who's done a lot of work for veterans and all sorts of admirable things, a very decorated career. And he was in uniform, and some 24-year-old Nigerian decided to stab him 12 times. He's now in hospital fighting for his life. And the last I saw, I don't know how they managed to establish this so quickly, but this is so typical. When the demographics are such and attacks on a white person, that, well, he's got mental health problems, you know. The amount of people that, you know, who are, you know, foreigners and have mental health problems is incredible. Now, of course, a lot of people from Africa do have mental health problems. There's all sorts of demonic forces in Africa. But the point is, it immediately gets, this guy's immediately got some sort of excuse. He's not just some black maniac who's consistent with, you know, the crime stats when it comes to black crime. He's now got mental health issues. This is not the first time this has happened. You know, this type of thing happens a lot, you know.
Maybe
I don't remember someone saying, I don't remember anyone saying, within 12 hours of George Floyd, I don't remember anyone saying that Derek Chauvin was suffering from stress or mental health problems. Do you?
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned this one case where you had this white police officer apparently for really no reason just shoot some woman. I mean, he would have had to have mental issues unless there's something really hard to imagine that happened outside of that video footage. But you know, that's the man biting the dog. Doesn't happen too often. Where did I see this? Maybe on some other website. This type of thing is much more common. There was some white woman, and she's out walking her baby in a stroller, and some fat black woman just walks by, takes out a gun, shoots the baby. Fortunately, didn't have the best shot, didn't have the best aim, and shot the baby in the leg. And the woman screams out, "My baby!" And the black woman says, "F your baby," and walks off. And I don't even know if they've caught that woman. I don't, you know, maybe they figure nobody died, so, you know, there's no harm. I don't know if they're how. And where did this take place? Did it take place in New York? I really don't know. There aren't very many white people left in New York. That type of thing is much, much more common. It doesn't produce the outrage. Oddly enough, this, you know, this one case of the schizophrenic black woman getting shot apparently for nothing didn't create much outrage. But what creates the outrage are black criminals who get killed in the course of committing crimes. That's the outrage. So I guess go figure.
Yeah, no, I'm back. Well, I mean, you know, this is where you're at. It's a very, very dangerous situation to be a white person. And it's very dangerous to attempt to stand up for your position as a white person because everything is stacked against you, you know. Look at Sam Melia, for God's sake. You know, distributing stickers that say White Lives Matter, and the judge himself had deemed them not to be, you know, committing an offense. But he's rotting in prison anyway, and he was recently up for, you guys call it parole, and that was denied because they, you know, they were trying to get him out with a tag, which would get him out of prison. He'd be tagged, and he'd have a curfew, such as the danger of the man. But no, they they reckoned he was too dangerous to allow out of prison. Little, you know, Sam Media, you know, harmless as a fly, you know.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true. Cannot be denied. They said someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, let hearts on fire.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Together at last at twilight.
the man. But no, they reckoned he was too dangerous to allow out of prison. Little Sam, you know, Sam Melia, you know, harmless as a fly, you know.
And Sam Melia, the husband of Laura Trowler, who's Mark Collett's deputy at the
Yes. So he's just been denied parole, essentially. You know, there was a request that he get out of prison with a tag and a curfew, which in itself is a disgrace. But even that was denied. Now he's too much of a danger, you know, with his views, and including, you know, danger to his own children, apparently. So, I mean, you do need to be very, very careful, I mean, in this country, because you can get yourself into all sorts of trouble very quickly, and then you're dragged through the courts, and who knows what's going to happen to you, you know? I mean, you would need to be an expert in every aspect of the ins and outs and the nuances of the law and all this to even have a chance to. But, you know, Sam Media's case was so troubling because it was acknowledged that he hadn't committed a crime, but they just put him in prison anyway because they make an example of him, and I think the judge pretty much stated as much. So where do you go from that? You know, what's the point in even knowing the law or knowing your rights when you've got a judge who just basically said, no, we need to make an example of you. You know, you're too interested in defending the interests of white people and distributing stickers saying white lives matter, you know?
It's hard to imagine how such a thing could happen. Well, you didn't break the law, but we're putting you in jail anyway.
That's pretty much, illegal. You know, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
You had bad intentions. You're a bad person, so we're putting you in jail.
Well, again, the irony is Keir Starmer had barely taken office. And one of the things he was apparently, you know, he and is apparently very concerned about is that our prisons are overcrowded and that we need to let out a lot of these people. Oh, well, I'm thinking, well, why not start with Sam Elia? You know, that'll free up the space. And my concern is that they want to free up these prisons and allow real criminals who should be in prison, they want to allow them out. Maybe they want to, you know, create a few more spaces for people like more of Sam Elia types, you know. We need to get those black people and, you know, terrorists out of the prisons so we can put Sam Elia and his buddies in there, you know.
Well, what we hear in the United States, for instance, when in 2017 you had the Charlottesville march, people walking around Charlottesville with tiki torches saying, you will not replace us. The governor saying these people have no place in our state. You'll hear Nikki Haley saying people have no place in this country. So the actual people who founded the country, if they try to make it, to try to pursue their own group interests in any way, they have no place in this country.
Yeah,
because this is the country of immigrants. This is a Well, I think we're pretty much out of time.
Yes, okay, Patrick. That time went very quickly as well.
Yeah, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're listening to this on Friday, Paul, when's your show? Because we already recorded your show. What time is going to broadcast?
1 p.m. Central on Sunday.
On Sunday. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was a good show, too. So, and to finish it up, I will be back again next time with more exciting episodes of National Public Radio. You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Dang-a-dang-dang-a-ding-a-dong. Blue moon, you knew just...
Health Simple with Colorado Shioji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.